This morning, we have a very interesting guest. She's been with us before. She's an author. She's an attorney. I think it would be easier if I said, what don't you do? She's a feminist, one of the people who started now the National Organization of Women. Welcome, if you will, Sonia Pressman Fuentes. And are you there? Sonia, how are you?
I'm here, and I'm fine, and it's lovely to be with you again, Phil.
Now, I know you used to live in Cleveland. Now you're in sunny Florida.
That is right.
All right.
Although right now it's raining.
It's raining, all right. By the time this airs, I hope you don't have snow.
I don't think so.
No. Now, you've done something that no one has ever been able to do. I don't know if anybody has ever tried to do, but you had somebody removed from the righteous Gentile list or manifest for Yad Vashem. Would you explain what you did, why you did it, and how you did it?
I haven't had anybody removed from the list of righteous among the nations. I am trying to have somebody removed and trying to have somebody else included. And I don't believe I'm the first person who ever tried to do that.
Oh, all right. I was just under the impression that you were. But tell us, first of all, you and your family were Holocaust survivors. You left Germany in what, 1937?
1933.
33, excuse me. And you were how old?
I was 5.
And people can do the math then if they want. This is a very interesting subject. You did not realize that this gentleman, I guess the word gentleman is not correct either, was involved in saving Jews and at the same time not saving Jews and having some other problems. So tell us who and what and how you got involved, because it took quite a while to get to this point. You were unaware.
Well, that is true. I thought I knew a lot about my families and my story, but it turned out that there were important things that I didn't know and that I began to learn in December of 2010 and then again this past September of 2011. But it's a long story. As you mentioned, we left, my parents were Polish but had lived over 20 years in Germany and were living in Berlin when Hitler came to power, and left there in 1933 and went to Antwerp, Belgium, my parents, my brother, and I. And we initially, all I'd ever known was that we wanted to remain in Belgium, but my father tried to go in business in Belgium and in other European countries, and nothing worked out. So in April of 1934, we boarded a Red Star Line ship called the SS Westernland and left Antwerp and came to the United States.
Okay, so you actually were not Holocaust survivors in 1934 because the war didn't start until later. So
we are Holocaust survivors. The definition that the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum uses for Holocaust survivor is anyone who was in Germany, I don't know what year it starts, but certainly in the early 30s. Anybody who was a Jew who was in Germany in the early 30s and survived thereafter is considered a Holocaust survivor.
Okay, but the family, thank goodness, came to the United States before the war actually broke out, is what, I guess what I was saying there.
That is correct.
Okay.
We were not in any concentration camps or anything like that.
All right. Now, you're here in the United States. You've been here for many, many years. You're a citizen. Tell us about Robert DeFoy.
Well, I'm a subscriber to the Jewish Forward, and I used to read it in the Yiddish version, but now I read it in the English version. And a couple of years ago, I happened to see a little paragraph in Masha Leon's column,
yes,
that said there is going to be a new museum opened up in Antwerp, Belgium, dedicated to the Red Star shipping line.
Mm-hmm.
And the ship that we came to the United States on was a Red Star shipping line.
Ah. All right.
So I thought, my first thought was that I will write to the people putting up this museum and let them know that I came on one of their ships. And then I said to myself, well, that's ridiculous. Millions of people came on their ships. Why would they care that I was one of them? And then I said, well, what have I got to lose? So I wrote to the Red Star Line Museum people in Antwerp and told them perhaps they'd like to know that I came on one of their ships to the United States with my family. Well, they were very, very interested because it turns out they know, before I wrote to them, they knew of only two people who are alive today who traveled on one of their ships. Their ships were in operation from 1873 to sometime in 1934. And during that time, they brought over 2 million people from Antwerp to the United States.
Wow.
But now they only know of three such people, and I'm one of them.
Okay.
So they were very, very interested. And a woman named Mandy Nowell-Ertz, who's a consultant to the museum, flew to Florida to interview me on December 8th, 2010. She came with her cameraman, Mario DeMunk. And they spent a couple of days in Sarasota and interviewed me and filmed me. And at that time, they had already invited me to come to the official opening of the museum as their guest, which will be now in the spring of 2013.
Okay.
But when Mandy visited me in December, she said they would also like me to come this past year in 2011. And I said to her, well, there was a chance that I would be going to Germany as a guest of the Foreign Office in 2011. And if that worked out, I could then come to Antwerp and visit them. So that's, and that did work out for me to go to Germany. And so that's how I happened to also go to Antwerp. When Mandy was with me, before she came in December of 2011, she had done a terrific job of doing research on my family's stay in Belgium. I had already sent her a diary that my late brother Herman Pressman kept in German shorthand, which included what happened during our stay in Antwerp, so they had that. But she went to the archives in Antwerp and the archives in Brussels, and she said she took 111 pictures of documents involving my family.
Wow.
When I first got that, I told her I think she must be mistaken because, we, to my knowledge, we hadn't done anything while we were in Antwerp to warrant, you know, this kind of material, but she hadn't made a mistake. And when she came in December, she brought me copies of many of these documents, and she even went to the neighborhood where we lived in 1933-34, and brought me pictures of the building we had lived in, which it remains an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood today.
She's
the one who first told me about Robert DeFoy.
All right, I was going to say, that's fascinating that there's so much information. Go ahead.
About a story that I'd never known before. It seems that neither my brother, my parents, or I had the legal right to remain in Belgium. My parents and I had no rights whatsoever. My brother had had a tourist visa, but that had expired. Are you there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening, yeah.
I can hardly hear you.
I'm right here.
Okay.
I haven't moved.
So my brother was frantically running around Belgium, filling out applications to get permission for our family to remain legally in Belgium. And the top person to decide that was a man named Robert DeFoy, who was head of something called, I believe, the Sûreté Publique.
Mm-hmm.
It is like our FBI.
Okay.
And he did not permit us to remain in Belgium and ordered the mayor of Antwerp at that time, where we were living in Antwerp, a man named Camille Huysmans, who subsequently became Prime Minister of Belgium, Robert DeFoy ordered Camille Huysmans to deport us.
Was there a reason for that? Did they give you any reason?
Yes, I found out more in September. I'll come to that. But I didn't learn all that much when I spoke with Mandy in December of 2010.
Okay.
And Camille Huysmans was a socialist and a man who was sympathetic to the plight of Jews in Belgium. He refused to deport my family. So Robert DeFoy then went to the federal police and asked them to deport us. And when they came to deport us to our apartment, we were already on the SS Western Land on the way to the United States.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I learned some of this from Mandy in December of 2010 when she visited me in Sarasota. But it was all new information for me, and I could only take in so much. So I got the gist of it. But then on September 11th, I came to Antwerp. And the Red Star Line Museum people had a wonderful itinerary planned for me, including my going to the archives in Brussels to look at my file. So I went to the archives in Brussels, and I met with a man named Frank Keistecker, who does not work for the archives. Frank is a historian and a professor at the University of Ghent in Belgium. And he is an expert on refugees in Belgium in the early 1930s, in particular Jews. And Frank was there to meet with me, and he and I went over every single page. It was amazing to me that they have in the archives all of the documents involving my family and my brother's applications and my brother's picture from 1933. Everything is there. So Frank went over my file with me and explained every single document to me. And that's when I learned that the reason Robert DeFoy did not want to allow us to remain in Belgium was he did not care for immigrants. He was xenophobic. He was anti-Semitic. And he also felt that since my parents were born in Poland, we could return to Poland. My parents hadn't lived in Poland for 20 years. And also, he did not want my father. My father was in the men's clothing business, and he was looking to go into business in Antwerp. And Robert DeFoy felt that he didn't want my father going into business in Antwerp and competing with Belgians in that business. So those were the several reasons why he turned down our applications.
So I'm going to hold you up here for a minute, yeah. Sonia. We're just about out of time for this segment. I'm going to ask you if you'll stay with us, and we'll continue this for the next hour's program, if that's all right with you. And I have a couple more questions I'm going to ask and let you do your narrative, because it's very interesting and very well annotated. You have all this information. I don't know how many people are aware that these records are still around, thinking that perhaps during World War II they were destroyed after the Allies got to various cities. But nonetheless, everything is there. So can I hold you over for another segment?
Of course.
Okay, don't go away. We'll be back, and Sonia will be with us in the next hour. Stay tuned, folks.
Shout and love America.